what we just heard in the gospel is very commonly the understanding of the expectation of Christians. In the society, this is what they're expecting of us. They want us to love no matter what. They don't want us to judge. And throughout the gospel, you heard a lot of these phrases which Christians get thrown around all the time. It says, you know, that we need to turn the other cheek. You need to love your enemy. You need to stop condemning people. You need to stop judging, because only God can judge. So this is, like I said, what Christianity seems like to the rest of the society. Because quite frankly, their greatest virtue that they have currently in our society is tolerance. They want you to be able to tolerate them. They don't want to be told what they can't do, what they can't say. They want you to not judge them, to not be tolerant of them. And it seems pretty clear that that's what the gospel is telling us. It's saying, you know, that you should just accept people the way that they are. Stop judging to be more accepting. And there's a couple instances throughout our society right now in which I can see this being played out. Examples such as immigration or same-sex marriage, that we're supposed to be accepting. We're not supposed to judge. We're supposed to be loving, because that's what Christ was. So my question to you is this Christianity? Is this the point? Is this how we are supposed to act in our society? And the answer is yes. It was pretty clear in the gospel. It was pretty clear in the gospel that we're not supposed to judge, that we don't know what other people are going through. But there does need to be a clarification on that. If I see someone stealing, I can say that stealing is wrong. I don't know their intentions behind why they are doing it, so I can't judge them based on their intentions, but I can judge that action in saying that stealing is wrong. That Jesus wanted us to always be the bigger person. He wanted us to be extremely generous if we were able to. But this is just a small part of the scriptures. We can't take this one gospel passage and just say this is all Christianity is and just reject everything else that was said. Because if this was the case, if this is all that Jesus came down and said, then he would have just been the greatest moral teacher ever. Everyone would have accepted him. No one, even though this is kind of difficult for us to hear, right? You know, to be nice to people who are mean to us. Even though that's kind of difficult for us to hear, most people would agree to it. No one would really say, you know, this is a bad guy. No one would have crucified Jesus for saying what he said in our gospel. But the fact is, they did crucify him because he said a lot of controversial things, and what we hear in the gospel is not the extent to what he's calling us to do, especially when we live out in our society. So when I was thinking about this and praying about it, I thought of two big misconceptions that our society preaches and kind of demands on us, especially as Christians, that I don't think are fair, and I think are quite problematic. The first one is, if I disagree with you, that means that I hate you. And we see this in politics all the time, that even if we just disagree with someone, that means we hate them. If we don't approve of their current lifestyle, that means that we absolutely hate them. So in same-sex marriage, if I don't approve of it, it's their understanding that I hate them, and that's just not true. That you can disagree with someone and still love them at the same time. That's what we're called to do as Christians. The second misconception is, if I love you, then I agree with everything about you. So if I disagree with you, I hate you. Or if I love you, that means I accept everything about you. And as you can see, this is what they want of us. This is what is demanded of us. And to be quite frankly, is if you live by these two precepts, which is being pushed, you would be a bad friend. You'd be a terrible friend. That if you see something that is wrong in your friend, that is causing them harm, and you don't do something about it, you would be a bad friend. What Christianity is about is all about these relationships. It's It's about the relationship that you have with your spouse, the relationship you have with your kids, with your friends, the relationship, most importantly, that you have with God. And in these relationships, it's not just about getting together and talking about sports or, you know, the weather or stuff that is nice. It's about helping each other. The point of, you know, being married is to help your spouse get to heaven. With your kids, you're raising them so that they can be competent citizens, so that they themselves can get to heaven. I want to get to heaven. And I want you to be critical in anything in me in which you think could prevent me from actually getting to heaven. Now, that doesn't mean you can just walk around and just be critical of everyone. That's not the point. What's your intention behind this? Is your intention to be critical of someone, to put them down, to tear them down, to make yourself look better? Because that's not the point. Is your intention to truly help this individual? Because if we do see something in another person and we are able to help, then technically we are morally obligated to do it. I was thinking throughout Scripture of other instances of friendship and other examples of how we could build this up. And there were two that came to mind. One is, over the last 2 weeks, we've been reading the story of Genesis in daily mass during the first reading. And we came across the story of Cain and Abel. So as you know, Cain killed Abel. And when God came down and he asked Cain where his brother was, where's Abel? Cain responds to God by saying, am I my brother's keeper? Like, why are you asking me where Abel is? I'm not in charge of him. He's his own man. He can do whatever he wants. And we can see how that's problematic. Cain killed Abel. What Cain does, we're kind of called to do the reverse of it. That to a certain extent, we are our brother's keeper. That is what it means to be Christian. That if we can help out, we're supposed to help out. The second example from Scripture that I think is very helpful when it comes to relationships is that iron sharpens iron. That throughout our relationships, we are supposed to be helping each other. That as iron sharpens iron, our relationships are supposed to help each other to become the best version of ourselves so that we can get to heaven. Like I said, I want to get to heaven. I hope you want to get to heaven just as bad, and you love me enough to where you're going to help me do that. And I love you enough to where I'm going to help you do that as well. I want my family in heaven. I want my parents in heaven. I want all my friends in heaven. And I'm going to do everything I can in my capacity to help them get there. So as we go forward this week, let us understand that we aren't supposed to judge. We're supposed to love our enemies. That we're supposed to give without expecting repayments. But that doesn't mean that we're just supposed to be walked over or taken advantage of. They say virtue lies in the means. It lies right in the middle. On one side, we have, you know, someone being taken advantage of. Someone who's just constantly giving, they're getting taken advantage of, right? They're a pacifist, people are walking over them. And on the other side, we have someone who is extremely critical, someone who lacks a lot of charity in their actions. And we're called to be right in the middle. Through prudence, we can determine what needs to be a charitable act, what ways we can give, what ways we can be critical, what ways we are called not to judge in that situation. So remember that we need to love our enemies, that we need to be critical of them, that we need to see how we receive criticism, how we can receive it so that we can become a better version of ourselves, because in the end, we want to help everyone get to heaven.